You'll notice the theme of our music, dealing with the Word of God. And we have arrived at Psalm 119. We're claiming Psalm 119, verse 105. Notice the Word of God reads. We're reading 105 through 112 together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. A mother and father had a son that was leaving for his freshman year at Duke University, and his parents gave him a Bible with the instruction to hide God's word away in his heart, being assured that it would be a great help in the times of decision-making in his life. Later, as many children do, he began sending letters asking for money, and they would write back telling him that he needed to read the Word of God and turn to certain passages, Psalm 119, telling him to turn to the book of John chapter 10, the 23rd Psalm, and other passages. He would reply in his letter that he was reading his Bible, but he still needed money. When he came home for semester break, his parents told him that they knew he had not been reading his Bible. And how was that? Well, they had tucked $10 and $20 bills by the verses that they had cited in their letters. And he never opened up the Bible. You know, God's Word is a treasure that needs to be mined out. We need to be in the Word of God. Some people are like the old song, Secondhand Rose, you know, the one who always had everything secondhand and had to be content. But you know, we ought not to be secondhand Christians. We ought to get God's promises firsthand from the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is our Shekinah. God's Word guides us and leads us. Our thoughts center around verse 105 for a few moments this evening. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God led the children of Israel by His presence, His guidance. And the Lord desires to lead us through the pathway of His Word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I think of individuals that were known to have thought highly of the Word of God. The sixth president of our country, John Quincy Adams, made the following statement. So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove to be useful citizens of their country and respectable members of our society. Isn't that true? George Mueller, the great missionary who established many orphanages through England, said regarding God's Word, I believe that the chief reason that I have been kept in happy, useful service is that I've been a lover of Holy Scripture. It's been my habit to read the Bible through four times a year, in prayerful spirit, applying it to my heart, and I practice what I find there. I have been for 69 years a happy, happy, happy man. You know, not far from where I live in West Orange County is a nursery. I passed by it oftentimes on Keene Road in Apopka, and it's the grumpy old man's nursery. Anybody want to work there? You can reserve your comments later to one another. But it's interesting. I'd like to go in there someday and say, may I meet with the proprietor of this building and talk to him and see just exactly how grumpy he is. We're giving him a little free advertising here among our flock and perhaps some of our listeners. But, you know, God's Word tells us that God's Word will change our temperament, certainly. Now, there are seven things that we're going to be looking at that God's Word will do for us. And it'll be a blessing for us in seven ways. In 1 John chapter 2, if you'll turn there, 1 John chapter 2, turn to verse 14. 1 John chapter 2. Here you'll notice that the Word of God deals with various levels of spiritual maturity. John is writing to little children, verse 12 of chapter 2, who don't know much else than the fact that their sins have been forgiven them. They need to grow in the things of the Lord. He wrote to people who were mature, like fathers who have known Him for many, many years, and we have spiritual fathers here in our midst. But also, he wrote to, verse 14, young men. We have individuals that are growing. But you know, notice what God's Word says in verse 14. It says, I've written unto you, 14b, I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You know, being in God's Word will give us spiritual strength. It'll make us a strong Christian. You know, when you get to be over so many years of age, you look at young men and you learn to appreciate them. God has given me six strapping young men. And you know why I say strapping, because at the appropriate time, every one of them had to get the strap at one time or another. But you know, it's such a joy to have young, strong men. And I see Benjamin growing up, and I can talk about him. He's not here tonight, you know, and some of the others aren't either. But I see them growing up, and they're able to take on jobs that normally I'd have to do myself. And I see Jesse and Michael coming along in those areas too. And the quality of the yard work and everything that they do is improving commensurate with their age. But what would happen if I never gave them a job to do because it would never be like I would do it? You know, sometimes fathers can be that way. Hey, he can't do it as good as me, then he's not going to do it. And they never learn. They never get broken in. But it's good to see young men growing. And sometimes we'll make use of young men helping us move. And you know, I'll pick up one box, and then all of a sudden you see some of these young bucks come in, you know, feeling their oats. They take three boxes all at one time when I only lift one. And you see them go up the steps and haul those things over. And, you know, you think back and say, yeah, there was a time when I did that. There was a time when I tried to do that. But, you know, you kind of want to take care of the back and take care of yourself a little bit more. So you'll say, I'll take the aerobic side and just make a few more trips. But here is the wonder of young men who have grown in the Word of God. I want to challenge you young people that are here to take advantage to every opportunity you have to learn and study the Word of God. Be a student of God's Word. Be a young man that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And it'll help you, verse 14, to overcome the wicked one, because the Word of God will make you strong. And Jesus used the Word of God against the devil. Secondly, you know, God's Word will not only make you strong, but in the pages of God's Word, number two, you find assurance of salvation. You know, it's amazing how many Christians I meet that really lack assurance of their salvation. And there are many reasons for that, and I've preached messages on that. And if any of you are interested in receiving messages on the concept of eternal security and assurance of salvation, I'll be glad to provide those for you. But you know, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, you have the words, "These things have I written unto you." Well, what are the things that he's written? Well, I've taken the time to delineate 13 tests, and we're not going to cover those at all today. But you know, there are over 13 tests in the first epistle of John that are written whereby we can analyze ourselves in a spiritual clinic as to whether we're saved. But God's Word evaluates and presents us and gives us principles whereby we can be assured of our salvation. "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." Yes, we can know that we can have eternal life. You know, the lack of assurance was one of the greatest things that led me to the personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 11 years old. I just was tormented by the lack of assurance of salvation, that even a person could know that they were eternally secure and knowing Christ and could know Him as Savior. And God led me by His Word to that assurance as I heard the Word of God preached. And it says that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, eternal life wouldn't be eternal if you could lose it, would it? Eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So God's Word gives us strength. It assures us of salvation. 1 John 5:13. But you know, it also, as we go tonight in prayer, we need to remember God's Word gives us confidence and power in prayer. It gives us confidence and power in prayer. Look at John chapter 15, that great abiding chapter. Verse 7 says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Isn't it wonderful that we can have that confidence in prayer? And God's Word gives us confidence and power in prayer. Also, number four, God's Word gives us cleansing from sin. God's Word cleanses us from all sin. In John chapter 15 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." You know, I get into the Word of God and I just sense a spiritual refreshing. A spiritual refreshing and a spiritual refreshment as I get into the Word of God, read its pages, and sense the cleansing of the Spirit of God. As I read God's Word, as the Spirit points out areas of my life that need to be confessed, I confess those before the Lord as I'm reading. And then as I come across promises that God's Word presents, I pray those back to the Lord and claim them as my own. And I receive cleansing. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" You know, I like that young man reference there, because there are a lot of people that think that, you know, can a young man really overcome sin and live successfully? Absolutely. Absolutely. A young man can cleanse his way. How? By taking heed. In other words, paying attention to thy word. Pay attention to the word of God. Don't let it just kind of pass by as a course that needs to be studied and understood. But be a hearer, but also a doer of the word as well. Fifthly, God's word, as our Shekinah, gives us joy. You know, a lot of Christians could use a good dosage of joy. Seems like Christians walk around so melancholic all the time. And, you know, there's nothing in the life of a melancholic Christian that would ever attract anyone not a very good advertisement for the gospel. But in John 15, interesting how many of these deal with the abiding chapter. But in John 15 and verse 11, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." Isn't that interesting that Jesus called the joy that we have to have my joy? My joy. In other words, I can have the joy of Christ in my life as I allow Him to fill me with His Spirit. That's why my joy will tap out. It'll run out. My joy is superficial. My joy is so often circumstantial. But when it's His joy that's infused into my life, that will transcend temporal circumstances. It'll have an abiding value, and it will remain. It'll abide. "If my joy," He says, "abides in you, your joy will indeed be full." Then, number six, abiding in the Word of God and allowing God to be the Shekinah of our lives will produce peace in your heart. Christians need peace today. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me," oh, there it is, "in me, ye might have peace." How many times do we find, "Oh, I'm looking for peace. When am I going to have peace?" Oh, when everything is finally great at my job. When are you going to have peace? Oh, when all of my bills are paid. When am I going to have peace? When all of my kids aren't sick, they're healthy all at once for a period of time. When am I going to have peace? When my husband or wife starts improving in their Christian walk with the Lord, you know. But no, the Word of God says, "I want you to have peace, that in me ye might have peace." Our peace is based upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because nothing is ever going to be, using my term, hunky-dory in this life. There'll always be something to gripe about. Nothing will ever be perfect. It's amazing how people suffer from the greener grass syndrome. The greener grass in their marriage. The greener grass in their job. The greener grass in churches. You know, the greener grass in schools or whatever the situation might be. But peace is found in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why I say the best preparation for marriage is to be the right person with the Lord and examine your own heart and walk with God. It produces peace. "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." So based on His victory, we can have that peace that He is in control. Number seven, God's Word will guide us in decision-making as our Shekinah. You have decisions that are facing you, that are difficult decisions. God will never guide you contrary to His Word. Now, I sometimes smile when I hear the hermeneutics of some Christians. The what? The biblical interpretation of some Christians. You know, God's Word is not some type of a genie book where we can take a scripture out of context. Somebody once said, and I'm sure that some of you have heard this before, a scripture taken out of context is a pretext. We must be careful when we claim a promise from God's Word that we are understanding the Word of God in its context, in its intended purpose. God's Word is not some type of a spiritual Ouija board or some type of a puzzle that you can juxtapose and puff. It becomes what you want it to be when you want it to be. God's Word needs to be rightly divided and understood. So be careful, you know, when you're kind of using the sovereignty of God method in an interpretation of a book or whatever, that you understand the context of the book, who is being spoken to, what the setting is, what the context and intended meaning of the passage is. A proper application. Listen now. This is a Bible interpretation class. Okay? Proper application always stems from a proper interpretation. There are many applications that we can come up with, but we must first interpret the passage in its socio-grammatical, cultural understanding, and then understand the proper fitting for it. Because I'll tell you what, if you've pastored very long, there'll be people that'll come to you with some very, very novel, out of space interpretations on passages. Everything from UFOs in the book of Ezekiel, and therefore I saw one last night. You know, all types of things. So be careful. Some of you say, show me where. but be careful, because there can be some real hermeneutical mistakes in Bible interpretation in failing to understand the context of a passage of Scripture. And there are very simple tools that you can get to get that information that will be very, very helpful for you. But these things are great things that God will provide. Now, if you deposited $100 in the bank 25 years ago, and then every week for 25 years you withdrew $25, would you have very much in the bank? Of course not. You would have been seriously overdrawn. Yet how many Christians, they're not in the Word of God, they're living on a small bank account of investment that they might get from preaching or Sunday school class. If that's all you're getting, that is not enough of a deposit for the transactions that you have to accomplish throughout the week. You must allow the Spirit of God to deposit in your life on a daily basis, not secondhand rows, firsthand. Let the Spirit of God be your teacher to guide you in all truth. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for these seven things that the Word of God does for us as our Shekinah to guide us and lead us. Thank you, Father, that your Word assures us that when the child of God looks into the Word of God and he sees the Son of God, that he is truly changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. Lord, as we go to prayer, we thank you that your Word does give us confidence and power in prayer. Lord, help each listener to yield themselves to a steady diet of being in God's Word, that we might grow, that we might have biblical discernment and power in Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.